Good morning. Good morning to you guys at home on Zoom. Good to see you. I thought it was quite poignant, Fee saying that it's important that we look to restore our soul. I need you to pray for my soul this morning. There is a sense that it is truly coming apart. I mean, look, I can't. This is all coming off. Look, I need some glue. Get myself a new pair. I just need some glue. That's what I need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage, and for many of us this will be a very familiar one. I pray that you open our hearts and minds to hear something afresh from it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, do you know what? Easter's around the corner, not far away, and in the 5 weeks prior to that, Tim and I have started, or we're going to start a new series today called Habits of the Heart. And what we want to do is to look at good spiritual disciplines. It was great actually to hear about this breath prayer. That's something about what might be worth trying to try. And we've looked at these spiritual disciplines and wondered where to get them from, which ones we should pick. And we've based it on a book by Richard Foster. Now, some of you may know this book, Celebration of Discipline. When I was at college, this was one of the books that they took us through, looking at all these different types of spiritual disciplines, of which we're going to go through a few with you over the next 5 weeks. It's quite a table of contents, and we both had a copy of the book, and we both decided to see which ones we gravitated to. Thankfully, we gravitated to completely different ones. There was no fighting, no arm wrestling needed to see who was doing what. And I'm beginning this morning with the spiritual discipline of simplicity. Simplicity. And do you know what? It would be very easy for me to simply stand here and read the chapter on simplicity, because it's a great chapter. In fact, it's a great book, and I would commend it to you. I'd recommend that you get a copy, that you read it. It might just change your life by the way you take on some of these spiritual disciplines that are explored here. I'm going to read to you just the first paragraph from this chapter, which kind of outlines a sort of thrust, really, of where we're going to go with this. So Richard Foster says, "The Christian discipline of simplicity is an inward reality that results in an outward lifestyle. Both the inward and the outward aspects of simplicity are essential. We deceive ourselves if we believe that we can possess the inward reality without it having a profound effect on how we live. To attempt to arrange an outward lifestyle of simplicity without the inward reality leads to deadly legalism." In essence, what Foster is saying is, if we do this properly, our lives will change. It will affect the way that we go about our lives. And these verses we just heard from Helena, from that popular, well-known passage in Matthew 26, brings us to what Foster says is essential to this discipline of simplicity, and that is this: that we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, before anything else. If we do that, then everything else falls into place. But it's helpful if we can simplify our lives, if we're going to do that properly. Now, our desire for this series, I warn you now, and I've locked the doors already, just in case you don't like this idea. Our desire for this series is it be a practical one. One where there will be things that we can apply. There might be in some of the sermons that application might be something we can do there and then in the service. A bit like we did with the abridged prayer just a moment ago. It might be something you want to take away with you. Some homework, if you like. Some things that you might want to try. And I already know that there is someone here this morning, at least one person, for whom this sermon is going to be very, very important that they listen to. That's me, by the way. The first thing to say about living a life of simplicity is it is about much more than just living minimalistically. That's quite a phrase that we hear about a lot, have a minimalistic lifestyle. Not having loads of stuff around us. It's about more than that. But that's definitely part of it. That's why I love, in case you hadn't noticed, to get skips. So that we can get rid of stuff. It was wonderful that we yesterday were hosting the community skips. And people from the Arboretum were coming and throwing their stuff into these lorries and skips. And do you know what? Apparently, the plan is that's going to happen every 10 weeks here. It's like a dream for me to be a pastor of a church where every 10 weeks we're going to have refuge vans and skips. So yes, it is good. It is good to have a clear out from time to time. I'm sure we've all got more stuff than we actually need. And yet God makes very clear he will provide for all that we actually need. He feeds the birds. He clothes the flowers. And after telling us that in Matthew 6, Jesus goes on to say that we shouldn't worry about things like that. That shouldn't be our focus. But what we should be doing is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And too much stuff in our lives can get in the way of that. It's been said that the Christian discipline of simplicity is an inward reality that results in an outward life, so similar to what Foster says, an outward life of joyful unconcern for possessions. That's what we should have, a joyful unconcern for possessions. The problem is, if we're not careful, we can get too concerned about stuff, about possessions, and they become idols in our lives. And our desire is to get more stuff, the latest this, or the best of that. And when we care too much about stuff, or simply have too much, it chokes out of our lives what really matters. And that is certainly not living a life of simplicity. But living a life of simplicity as a Christian is about more than seeking and having less stuff in our lives. It's not just about physical clutter, but also the clutter of our minds. My goodness, I bet if we're all honest, we all know we have a lot of clutter in our minds, and that might be happening right now. And the clutter of our minds, it stops us, distracts us from doing other things, stops us from worshipping God, stops us from being able to properly focus on his word when it's read to us or we're reading it. Stuff that stops us from truly being able to focus on the here and the now, on the moment they were currently in, on God. We need to embrace all the best that this life has by seeking God and letting go of the clutter that we have, the physical clutter, yes, but also the clutter of our minds. And also the clutter of our time. So how we use our time, just how much we fill our time, and more on that later. Came across this quote as I was preparing for this morning. The spiritual discipline of simplicity is to intentionally shed the things of this earth that are keeping you from fully experiencing the life God desires for you. If we've got clutter in our lives of stuff, or clutter in our minds with so much going on in there, or clutter of our time, our diaries are so full, we will never really have the time we need to fully experience the life that God desires for us. Mental clutter can split our attention into multiple directions. And that in turn can make it difficult to hear the voice of God in our lives. Anything that we place our hopes and dreams on that we believe can provide for us apart from God becomes an idol in our life. Takes us away from seeking Him and His kingdom. Now these days, isn't it so easy to try and jam a million things into a single day? I'm sure we've all done this. You get to the end of the day and you think, I've been so busy, but what have I actually achieved? Not only do we feel exhausted by the end of the day, but we also become so preoccupied with all the things that we have to do that we never really become present where we are right now, so that we can find ourselves focused on God, not on a whole raft of other things. But it means being intentional about what we do and what we don't do. It means being intentional on how we live. Choices which then allow God's power to move through us and bless others as we have more space in our life to do good in our lives and to help other people. Now I'm increasingly, it is a lifelong thing really, isn't it? But perhaps more so recently, I'm increasingly seeking to live a life of simplicity. Because I know that'll be better for me. I know that that'll be better for my health, my mental well-being, and that it will be better for my relationship with God, because my mind will be clearer and less stressed. I shared the other week at Zoom prayer space one tiny little thing I do, but it's made a difference. If there are a number of things I need to do, so we have Oasis on a Tuesday from time to time, where we set up. And then we have to clear down afterwards. And I have to clear down the PA desk. And then there's a few other things I like to do. A lot of it can go into that same room. So I try to carry as many things as I possibly can, all in one go, into the room. Causes me physical anxiousness. Gets me worried that I'm going to drop something. This is really simple. And you might think this sounds really staffed. But I've now started to do one thing at a time. By doing that, I feel less stressed. By doing one thing at a time, I'm also able to think about other things. I'm able to think about God if I choose to do that. It's a simple thing, but I'm trying to do one thing at a time so that my mind is not full of what's going on in that moment. And that's just an example of getting practical. And that's what I want to do now. Because one thing that should be true of being a Christian, one thing that should be true of being a follower of Jesus, is that it should result in a changed life. It should result in changes to our life. And that's the case with this discipline of simplicity too. Foster in his book says that it's important to realize that an inner reality of simplicity is not a reality until there is an outward expression of it. That experiencing the spirit of simplicity will affect how we live. And that unless we consider specifics, so what does it actually mean for our lives, the discipline of simplicity becomes just a theory. So, if we're going to take this discipline of simplicity seriously, what are we going to do about it? What changes are we going to make in our lives? If you get the book, what you will discover at the end of the chapter is that there are 10 things listed. It would be good for us to consider and to do something about. I'm not going to go through them all now. I'll let you read that in your own time. However, there are a few questions I think we can all ask ourselves this morning to help us all free ourselves up to more ably focus on the seeking of the kingdom of God. So here goes. They're dead simple. A lot of this stuff is simple. What stuff do you have which might be becoming more important to you than God. Stuff can become an idol. Are you simply collecting too much stuff, which is causing your house and your life to be excessively cluttered? Is there some stuff that you could simply give away to someone else who needs it more than you? And that's one of Foster's 10 challenges, to look around at what you've got. If you never use it, maybe there's someone that could use it. That'd be good for them, that'd be good for you. Less stuff in your house. So the challenge for this week on that one is, maybe this week you look around you, and look around at your home and reflect on what you really need to keep. God will provide you all with all you, that you really, really need. And if you start collecting a pile of stuff that you think I really need to get rid of, in 10 weeks' time we're going to have some refuge carts and some skips around here. Oh, I'm so excited. Secondly, what can you do to adjust how you spend your time? Is your mind, maybe even right now, so full of all that you need to do and all the places that you need to be, that you don't have time to truly seek God and his kingdom because your life just feels too complicated? Here's the challenge. Maybe this week, get your diaries out. Look at them and see what's in there that doesn't really need to be in there, that you can take out and use that time for something else, helping someone else, seeking God. Thirdly, is your mind just so full of mental clutter, your plans, your dreams, your concerns, your worries, that you have no space in there for God? As we heard in the reading, who of us, by worrying, can add a single hour to our lives? So maybe this week, take yourself off to somewhere different. Get out for a walk. Get out in nature, as Foster also suggests, is one of his 10 points. Clear your mind and intentionally listen for God's still, small voice. We went out for a little walk from Great Whitley yesterday, up over the Abberley Ridge and around. There's no doubt, whenever we go out for a walk, that first half an hour or so, I'm still tuned in for the rest of life and all the things that I need to do when I get back and so on. But the longer we're out, the more that begins to dissipate as you begin to see the views, as you begin to hear the birds and know that they're being fed, as you begin to see the flowers and know that they're looking beautiful in all their clothing. Clear your mind and intentionally listen for God's still, small voice. There are other things. As I said, there's 10 large paragraphs of ideas that Foster comes up with this discipline of simplicity. As individuals, before I end today, I do want to mention something about simplicity as a church. I knew this topic was coming up this week, and it was interesting listening to Hayley Young last week. Because what she said is that far from simplicity, we can often overcomplicate the business of church by doing too much. And I completely agree. It was interesting in the autumn, winter of 2014, when I was engaging with Worcester Baptist Church, I was engaging with a couple of other churches as well, one over near Hemel Hempstead. And I went to meet the deacons, and I walked into the church, and I realized all their boards, all their groups, and all their activities that they run in the church. And it was a small church, much, much smaller than this church. And one of the questions I was asked that night is, oh, we're really busy. Oh, so exhausted with all that we do. How are you going to be able to encourage us to start new things when we're feeling so exhausted? I said, that's quite simple. I said, firstly, you stop doing some of the things you are doing. Some of the things that were started years ago by, I don't know, Aunt Flo, who died years ago, but people just felt, well, let's, now it started it, we just carry on running it. Churches are notorious for keeping things going well past their sell-by date. And it means you end up with loads of things running and then being burnt out. Church can become very complex. You know, what amazed me is when I said that to them, it was as though it was a big surprise to them. They hadn't even thought of that. We can get so wrapped up in the complexity of church. A.W. Tozer, who you may know, says this about this. He says, we are in an age of religious complexity. The simplicity which is in Christ is rarely found among us. In its stead are programs, methods, organizations, and a world of nervous activities which occupy time and attention but can't satisfy the longing of the heart. We can allow much, even good things, to get in the way of what God might want to do if we keep things simpler. We don't have the time or the attention that we really need to do what God wants us to do. Too many programs, too many groups, too many things taking us away from the simple business of being church, of being Christ in this community. The simple business of just being good news for everyone around us. Being able to simply love people for who they are, for who God made them. Being able to spend time with them. We need to find ways to simply build relationships with those in our local community. As Hayley said last week, we need to find ways of simply doing life with them. We need to find ways of doing life, as she said, with the other, those who are different from ourselves, those whose background, whose education, whose job might be very different from ours, those whose gift, lifestyle, ethnicity, sexuality might be different from our own. God still wants them to hear the good news. God still loves them. So we need to intentionally shed the things that stop us from doing that. Let's not overcomplicate the good news that we have, the good news that's been entrusted to us to pass on to others. Because the problem is, when we overcomplicate church, we often lose the radicalness of the message that the gospel contains. When we have a simplicity about church, then that helps to build the bigger table that Hayley was speaking about last week. Three words which are going to really excite you now. As I close, I want to say this. There are many good and helpful spiritual disciplines, some of which Tim and I will be looking at during this series. Living a life of simplicity is one of them. It helps us to put the important task of seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness without distraction first, whether as individuals or whether as a church. Doing so, knowing that we don't need a lot of clutter, a load of stuff, since God provides everything that we actually need. But we also need to address the other clutter of our lives. The clutter of our mind and the clutter of our time. Clearing out all that is not helpful or healthy so that we can better focus on God and that his plan for our life as individuals and for our life as a church. It's a challenge for all of us to reflect on all parts of our lives and ask, is there enough simplicity in them? Amen. And we're going to sing again before communion, Tim, is that right? Yeah.